Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get rooted in God. Rooted in God. Rooted in God. Let's stay rooted in God. Rooted in God. Rooted in God through Jesus our Lord and Savior. Good evening, my loves. Thank you for joining me on another episode of God's Rooted Message. I pray everyone is feeling blessed and highly favored, trusting the Lord on this Rejoice in the Lord Monday. I rejoice in my Father because He's so good to me. I rejoice because I know He knows everything. I know my Father knows His ways. I know He knows how the outcome is going to be. I know He knows my thoughts. I know He knows my heart. And I know He knows the decisions that I seek to make to be obedient to Him. He knows my faith level. He knows what gifts that He put inside of me. He knows the anointing that's on my life. He knows how I comprehend things. So I just thank my Father for knowing me so much, where He's knowing me so much that He's releasing to me what He knows about me and letting me be confident in knowing that my Father is the head of my life and He's guiding and directing me. And that's why I rejoice in my Father. Heavenly Father, I just come to You saying thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Father God. I ask You to touch me and everybody under the sound of my voice, from the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, Lord God, shed Your blood over till it strengthens us, Lord God. Allow us to go deeper inside of You, Father God. We long to have a deeper, intimate relationship with You, Father God. We long to get more understanding of You, more of Your revelation and Your knowledge and Your wisdom, Father God. But we ask You to direct our ways, Father God. We ask You to give us the understanding that set forth in today, Father God. Before it turned 12 o'clock to make it the next day, Father God, we still need answers for today, for September 11, 2017, Father God, release it, pour it down to us, Father God, give us the understanding so we can apply what we learned today, Father God, because we seek to learn more of You daily, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, we just love You, we just give all reverence and honor to You, we worship You in spirit and truth, because we know You are truth of everything, in Jesus' almighty name, we pray, amen, Holy Spirit, allow me to decrease so You can increase, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, today's title is called Cutting Off, hallelujah. I pray everyone had a blessed weekend and just was more deeper in the relationship with God. I pray He's been releasing stuff to you and showing you that He's there with you, that He would never leave you nor forsake you, because sometimes we just need that confirmation that our Father is there, that He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He has the answer to everything. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And today we're coming out of John 15. Hallelujah. And it says cutting off, and I'm going to start at John 15 and 1, and it reads, as I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said He's the true vine and His Father, God, is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bear fruit, He prunes it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Purges it. Hallelujah. And I looked up purge. It means rid someone of an unwanted feeling, memory, or condition, typically given in a sense of characteristic beliefs. And another definition is an abrupt or violent removal of a group of people from an organizational or place. And prunes mean to trim a tree or shrub or bushes by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness or growth. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. So it say unwanted feelings and memories and conditions. See, it say, for every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. So He's pruning, He's taking away the unwanted feelings, the memories, and the condition. Condition is the way that you're used to doing something. Hallelujah. He says, so if you bear fruit, He takes away the conditions and the things that you were so used to that you may bring forth more fruit, so you can bring fruit. Hallelujah. And when Matthew's 13, it talks about the seeds, the sowers of the seeds, and how the ones that have ears that can hear have understanding, and they bear fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you able to bear fruit when you understand something. And a memory, sometimes you hold on to memories. If we just sit back and think about a lot of memories that we have been through and things that we hold on to, a lot of memories that you hold on to so much, you don't have the full understanding and capacity of that. Now, let's say when you lose a loved one, you hold on to them memories because that's the love that you share, and it brings back joy and understanding. But I'm talking about a memory of hurt, a memory of a condition that you keep going over and over in your mind where you don't release it, and you get to the point where you don't bear fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he's pruning. He say, a branch that's in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's fruit that we're called to bear when we're his branches. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, when, as we just think about it, like in 1 Corinthians, when it's talking about 13, that we look through a glass darkly, then we know in part, and then we know as we are known. You looking at it face to face. You look through a dark, then you look at it face to face, then you know as you are known. So that's like the ones that every branch that bears fruit, and then he prunes it, he takes away, because now as it was dark at first, then you look at it face to face, then you know as you are known, and you are able to bear the fruit into full capacity, where it's a hundredfold fruit. Hallelujah. Because when we look at the parable, Jesus said some was 30, some was 60, and some was 100-fold. See, we want 100-fold fruit where it's fulfilled, it's to the fullness of it. It's to the fulfilled capacity of, because Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. He said he was full of grace. He was full of wisdom when we talked about that last week, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He came to finish the work of what God called him to do. So we always want to get to the finished work. We want to get to 100% of what God wants us to do. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Hallelujah. So you are clean through the words that Jesus have spoken to you, which the Father have released, because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So we are clean through the words that he speak to us. As he cleaning us, he's taking away the memories that we hold on to. Hallelujah. So we can bear fruit 100-fold. You see that he say we are clean after he shows us how he prunes and takes away stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He cut them down and make them pretty, to where we can know that we are clean through the words which he have spoken to us, and we understand that he's speaking to us. Because sometimes we have so many memories, because we have to realize in Romans 12:2, it say, don't be conformed to the world, but be retransformed by the renewing of our mind, so we can know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, he wants us not to have the old mindset. Hallelujah. Because when he told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give, I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He was saying that because he wanted the world peace. If everything is going right, you have the peace. God wants us to have peace in him, in the midst of him, no matter the situation, because we know that when we give up everything to follow him, that persecution is going to come, because he said, I will give you that double plus persecution. So it's things that's going to come when you're walking out. Everybody has something they have to go through. Everybody has trials and tribulations that's assigned to their life. They have obstacles and lessons that they need to learn to grow. We all with this is what God's through the message is focused on. What did you learn today? How is God showing you that he's taken away the memories? He had cleansed you through the word. Hallelujah. Because you abide in him, he's pruning you. So he's taking away the old thought process, how you consume something and hold on to the memories. Hallelujah. And so now you have a renewed mind where you know the good, acceptable, and perfect will. Because Jesus said when he sent back the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, it was going to bring back to remembrance. Hallelujah. So he wants us to have a memory, because the Holy Ghost brings back to remembrance. When you remember something, you think of something that had happened before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it tells us things to come. So the Holy Ghost is releasing things that is to come. That's what the Spirit of Truth does. Hallelujah. It says nothing of itself. Hallelujah. But he wants us to have the good memory inside of us. Hallelujah. So he prunes off the things that's not of him. Hallelujah. That's stopping you from bearing fruit. Because there's some memories to stop you from bearing fruit. Hallelujah. But we have to be in tune with our Father, and we have to let him prune us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, some people want the process to go so fast. But if the process goes too fast, you're not going to learn what's needed to be learned. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be able to apply the things that he needs you to apply. He say, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. It say, abide in me and I in you. If you live in him, he will live in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The branch, we are the branches. We cannot bear fruit of ourselves. Hallelujah. Just like when you talk about Moses, when the bush was on fire, God told him to take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. God was letting him know, take away your will. Now you're walking in my will. Hallelujah. This holy ground. We are called to be holy because he are holy. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he wanted to take off our shoes. He wanted to take off our wills. He wants us to stand in his will and his way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you put on your own shoes, you're walking the way you want to walk. But when you put on God's shoes, which is his will, you're going to go the way he's going to take you. Hallelujah. You want his ways and his thoughts, because his ways and thoughts is higher than ours. So we want him to take us. So he said, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You cannot bear fruit of yourself except you abide in the vine. It say we are dead and we are hidden with Christ in God. So we're hidden in Christ. He said, unless you abide in me and I abide in you, no more can you accept you abide in me. Hallelujah. No more can you accept you abide in him. So he wants us to get out the mindset of thinking it's anything about us, but it's all about God. Hallelujah. We cannot do this without God. We cannot do this without the blood of Jesus. We need to know that you cannot bear fruit on your own. Hallelujah. See, some of us, and this is for me too, what God has made me realize is that sometimes we want fruit to be bared, and we think that we have done so much, and like, okay, God, I've been doing this for a minute, and I've been faithful, and I've been consistent. But you ain't all the way out of yourself. God will never give you nothing before you can completely handle it. Because you're not really handling it. It's him that's handling it. And he wants us to know. Hallelujah. We always pray and say, God, don't give me nothing I can't handle. Hallelujah. The thing is, we're supposed to pray, God, don't give me nothing that you can't handle. Don't give me nothing that you ain't called me to walk in. Hallelujah. Because we know all things is possible through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He say all things is possible if you just believe. So if we say, God, don't give me nothing you can't handle. Hallelujah. And we want him to give us only what his will is destined for us to get. Hallelujah. Because he can handle all things. But we only want the things that he assigned us to handle. We only want the things that he assigned us to have victory. We only want the things that he assigned us to learn and to teach. Hallelujah. We only want the things that he called us to have revelation on, and the things that he called us to speak out into the atmosphere. Hallelujah. For it can be spoken, and then the ears that need to hear can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. I only want things that my Father can handle, because I want him to continue to kill me so he can come more alive. Hallelujah. Because it's not my will. Hallelujah. It's his will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because my will would be to run away from his will, because sometimes his will be so much, I'd be like, Lord, God, if you don't give me the strength, hallelujah, and he has to let me go, let me know, my child, you have the strength because you in me. Get out of yourself and get back in me. Hide back in me. Rest back in me. You are hidden with Christ in me. Be where you're supposed to be. Stay in your position. Don't try to get nothing that you ain't supposed to get. Don't try to understand nothing that you're not called to understand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just let me release what needs to be released out of you today, my child, and be who I called you to be, because I am sent you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am anointed you. Hallelujah. I am ordained you. Hallelujah. I am knew who you were before you was put inside your mother's womb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we just have to trust our Father. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather him and cast him into the fire, and they burn him. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask me what you will, and that it may be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. Hallelujah. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Hallelujah. So God, Jesus is saying, saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, what we need to understand is it's three that agree in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, if you abide in me, Jesus, we are hidden with Jesus, and my word abide in you. The word that Jesus was speaking was the word that God called him to speak. The word was made flesh. So if we abide in him and abide in the word that was made flesh, hallelujah, that was crucified on the cross, whose blood would redeem us back to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Now we are allowed to sit in heavenly places, to know who our Father is, to have our ears in tune with him, for us, him to release to us, hallelujah. Now he's bringing back to remembrance all the things that he said unto us, hallelujah. He said, you shall ask, he said, and you abide in me, you shall ask me what you will, and it shall be done to you. See, one thing we need to understand, when it say, you shall ask me what you will, when it say, you shall ask me, we are asking him what his will is. See, when we abide in him, we are starting to have his thoughts and his ways, because Jesus said nothing of himself. He said, you abide in me, and my word abide in you. So if the word abides in us, that means we're listening, we're in tune with the Father God, hallelujah, because the Holy Spirit says nothing of himself, hallelujah, but only things that is to come. So now we are releasing. We asking our Father to release to us what is already called. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What is already will for us to have, because we're walking in accordance of his will. Hallelujah. We desire his will. Hallelujah. We want his will to be magnified and glorified in our life. Hallelujah. I want to bring glory to my Father. So I desire his will. Hallelujah. But the only way I can live in his will, the only way I can maintain his will, the only way I can comprehend his will, the only way I can have strength in his will, hallelujah, if I continue to abide in him, because I cannot do it without him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My Father knew I was a runner. And he said, my child, I'm going to put you in the positions where you want to run. And I'm going to teach you how not to run, but to stand. And to stand tall and to believe that you abide in me and my word abide in you. And whatever you ask, you shall have, because now you're asking according to my will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If we pay attention, Jesus didn't ask for a lot of stuff. Only thing Jesus asked the Father for was when he went and prayed, when it was time for him to go to the cross. And he said, can you take this cup away from me? But not my will, thy will be done. And Jesus had told his disciples when they came up to him and asked him, can we drink of this cup? Can one of us sit on the right and the left hand of you? He said, y'all ain't even got the strength to take this cup, hallelujah, because there's more to this cup, hallelujah. Thank you, D.C. We shouldn't want no one else's cup, hallelujah, because the person who has the cup, they don't even want it. It's not that they don't want it, but sometimes you get overwhelmed and say, Lord, can you take this cup, but not my will, thy will. And what he was saying was not take away the will, not take away the purpose of happiness, but take away this memory that came back to me. Take away this memory, because now I'm sitting here thinking about my disciples, and now I'm sitting here thinking about the people I need to train. Sometimes we have so many memories with people where we don't want to leave them, where we don't want to let them go, but we want to hold on to the memories, hallelujah. And I want to take us to somewhere where it's talking about memories. And I want us to focus on what Jesus was just saying to his disciples in 12. In 2 Samuel 12, I'm going to start at verse number 12. And this is when Nathan came to Samuel. This is when Nathan came to David after David killed Uriah because he got Bathsheba pregnant. And God came to him. Nathan came and gave him a parable. And told him about the man that had one ewe lamb, and the rich man took his lamb and killed him. And he said and David said, he shall be killed four times, and he shall give the man four times. And Nathan said it was to you. And Nathan told him all that God said that he was going to do to him. But David repented. Hallelujah. See, I want what the Spirit of the Lord has released to me about releasing a memory. Releasing a memory. Hallelujah. Because now you abide in him. And I'm going to start at 12 because it says, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. God was saying, I'm going to go to 11 where he say, this says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors, and he shall lie with you, with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. One thing I want us to understand, when we do things, we have to realize that we sin against the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we doubt or anything, we're sinning against the Lord because we're not believing in his strength. Hallelujah. And so many times that people want to apologize to other people or other in places, but you need to know that you sin against the Lord, because David sinned and killed Uriah because of what he did with Bathsheba. And God has said, I have gave you your master. I have gave you everything that was Saul's. I have gave you your master. If you wanted more, I would have given you more. But you took from him. Hallelujah. So God was letting him know, you sinned against me because I could have gave you anything you wanted. We just seen that he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you will, you shall have. Hallelujah. So if it was something more that he needed and God's will, all he had to do was ask him. All he had to do was communicate. And when you really read and pay attention to David, David always prayed and asked God about certain things, but he didn't this time. See, some of you are straying off where you're not asking God about the certain things that you're going through. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're doing things secretly. Hallelujah. You're not abiding in God. You're making memories that's going to keep playing over your mind because you're not doing what you're called to do. It's causing you to sin because you did something in secret. He said everything that's secret will be revealed. See, the only thing that's called to be secret is the revelation that ain't due for you. The revelation that's due tomorrow is what's secret that God ain't released to you. But God revealed to us his secret. It's a revelation that you're going to get tomorrow that's secret to you today. But God lets his secret know. He let us know his secrets. He let us know his revelation. So God wants us to get to the point where we don't sin against him by doing something while we're not seeking him and getting understanding and trying to do things the way we think it's supposed to happen. And then God's got to come to us. See, God has revealed some stuff to you through people, but your secret eating you up because the memory is killing you. The memory is taking you to depression. The memory is making you think that there's something wrong with you, that you're not capable. And the answer is you're not capable. You only can do it through the strength of Jesus Christ. You only can do it because his blood redeemed us back to God. His blood allowed our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. His blood allowed us to see. His blood allowed us to have the seven spirits of God, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and the fire, which is the seven spirits of God, for him to rest upon us. And then we are blessed because we have the Holy Spirit. Now we have gifts of God to do the functions that he called us to do, to gain the understanding that he called us to do. You only can do it through him. So you don't have to do nothing secretly. You don't have to try to figure it out. Ask your Father, what is his will? Lay down and ask him, what am I supposed to learn in your will today? And he'll release it to you. However, because this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born to you shall surely die. And Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for this child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to rise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servant of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? It said that he fasted and he did all type of things for the child. And it said it came to pass on the seventh day. Seven means completion. God had already told David what he was going to do. See, God had revealed some stuff to you that some things is going to die. And when it gets to the seventh day, it's going to be completed where it's going to die. You are fasting about that thing. You went in, you lay all night upon the earth. You praying, you're fasting, you're laying on your face and asking God for this thing not to die. But God called it to die because this is not a part of his will. Or he called it to die because it's a part of his will. Because if we think about it like this, David was not supposed to have this child, and it was called to die because of a sin that he, because he sinned against God. God called Jesus to die, to shed his blood, to reconcile us back to him. If Jesus wouldn't have died, we wouldn't have received the Holy Spirit. If this child wanna die, when you go at the end, you see that Bathsheba got pregnant by David and had Solomon, who God loved. If the child wanna die, Solomon wouldn't have been conceived, because then Bathsheba was mourning, and through Bathsheba mourning, David consoled her. Because while David was mourning about the child being sick and dying, he wasn't trying to be one with his wife. Because it was guilt that was on him, but it was also shame he tried to lay before the Lord's face, because we know that David was a man after God's heart. So David had a heart of God, but something that he did in secret caused him to sin against God. See, you can have a heart after God, but we got to continue to lay our heart at our Father's feet and let him guide and direct us and pour into our heart and release into our minds what is called to be due. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servant, "Is the child dead?" And they said to him, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required that they set bread before him, he did eat. Then said his servant to him, "What thing is this that you have done? You did fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, you did rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and weep, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not come to me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when we look at that, we see that David, when he realized that the child was dead, that he got up and anointed himself, and he changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required that they set bread before him, and he did eat. He wasn't eating. He wasn't worshiping God. He wasn't doing nothing. He was just fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, because he had the memory of what he done when he fasted and prayed. But one thing we need to understand, that God confirms some things with David. God showed David that you're still a man after my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because you went through the routine of the thing, but I told you what I was going to do, and I confirmed what I was going to do. Hallelujah. But I'm still with you. And the reason that he let him still know he was with him, because God revealed to him what he was going to do. See, a lot of people look at the situation when God say he is going to kill some things, and they get upset and be all through off and want to give up. But you have to realize that God spoke to you and said that I'm going to kill this thing because you was not supposed to come into contact with it. You sinned against me because you went against my will. One thing we need to understand, when we're going against God's will and his way, we sinned against him. Hallelujah. See, one thing we need to understand, when Abraham had Ishmael, it never said that he sinned against God. Hallelujah. That it was called for it to be a bond woman and a free woman child that came out of Abraham. Hallelujah. Because that was part of God's will. But see, this wasn't part of God's will. That's why God allowed it to die. Hallelujah. But another thing that he allowed to die was Jesus, his Lord, his son, his only begotten son, because it was a part of God's will for it to die, because he was from the throne of David. See, David had a bigger call, and David had a bigger covenant with God, but that thing was not called to be alive. So you need to understand, it's something that God said is about to die. Let it die, but take into remembrance, bring back to your remembrance that God spoke to you, that God revealed things to you. It says the Holy Spirit says nothing of itself, but things that is going to come. God is still revealing to you things that's going to come, and he wants you to know that what you done secretly, I showed you openly. God told you secretly your sin that you did, but he allowed you to receive it openly and know how to walk in the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace of God. Walking it openly, he told you. He said you sinned, you repented. Now he's saying walk in my mercy and grace. I'm going to show you how to walk in it openly and accept what I have put it before you. Know that I'm still talking to you. Know that I am still God, and all things is possible in me if you just believe. Keep believing. Keep seeking my faith. Have your heart pure and continue to abide in me and my word abide in you. And whatever you will, you shall have, because now your heart is seeking my will. I thank you for joining me on God's Rooted Message tonight. I pray you was encouraged. I pray you receive what thus the Spirit was saying to this church tonight, and you go deeper inside of what God is telling you and let that thing die that he said is about to die, because he told you. You repented. Now walk in his mercy and grace and be the child that God caused you to be. Now he about to allow you to walk in it openly. I love you. God loves you more. Love harder, pray harder. Hug, love, my love.